What's up, everybody? Welcome to the pod. This is your host, the Commish, and it is week 11 recap. I should know this. I'm not ready for this. I'm gonna start over. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the pod. This is your host, the Commish, and it is the week 10 recap. Big week, lot to talk about. We're gonna have some people on. It's not just gonna be me. I promised I wouldn't do that again. But first, we have a handful of administrative things that I have to get to. So, whatever you're doing, think very carefully about the words that are about to come out of my mouth because we gotta fact check them as a group. The reason I'm doing this tomorrow at noon, I believe. So, to be clear, I'm recording this on Wednesday night, the 14th. Thursday at noon, I believe, the 15th. Is the trade deadline. So get in your trades. If you're listening to this after that, Matt, sorry, trade deadline passed. But I'm trying to keep track of all the trades that we have so we can figure out auction budgets for next year. So I'm going to read all of the trades that I have recorded with the dollar amounts and who they're from in between. If there's a trade missing, if one of these is incorrect, if there's a trade I made up out of thin air, let me know so we can fix this because the sooner we do it, less likely that we bicker about this next summer. So trades that might or will impact the 2019 auction. Me and Anurag, if I keep Juju or Josh Gordon, there's $4 per keeper there. Me and Johnny, I sent $35 to Johnny for McCaffrey in exchange for Lamar Miller. Trey traded Tevin Coleman and $38 to Matt for DeAndre Hopkins. I traded $2 and Carson Wentz to Rowan for Marlon Mack. Rowan traded $19. Baldwin, Smith, and Murray to Chris for Fournette, Cooks, and Yeldon. So that's $19. Aditya traded AJ Green and Gronk to Anurag for Le'Veon, DJ Moore, and $7. Hank traded $1 and Dak Prescott to Johnny for Matt Ryan. If there's anything wrong with any of the information I read you, please shoot me a text so I can correct it now. I don't want to have to re-arbitrate all this next summer. But more interestingly, by my count, we've had 15 trades this year, most of which have come in the last 5 weeks. Six of those have involved auction dollars. Nine of them obviously haven't. As many as, I believe, six players involved in any of those trades. So, as Trey pointed out on the text thread, there's a lot going on. It does make it exciting. I think we're a lot better at offering value and finding mutually beneficial trades than we were the first couple of years. I don't give Matt nearly as much crap as I used to have to. So I think that's probably a sign of all of us getting a little bit better at this. But trade deadline is tomorrow. You got any more crazy ideas? Fire them off quickly. Prepare yourselves to make a run at it or tank, whichever suits your fancy right now. So with that said, let's get on to recapping the week. A little bit of a segue here. I do think so Trey pointed out that there's a lot more trades going on, and he thinks that's good for the league. For the most part, I agree. But I made an observation this week that I think this might be the least parity we've ever had in the league. And the reason that came to me is because in the standings right now, we have at least one owner with every number of wins from 1 to 9. Johnny's got one, Matt's got two, so on and so forth. We double down on five, I think, is Hank and Roe have five. But otherwise, one owner at every number of wins from one to Cole all the way at 9 wins. And in my head, this is totally unsubstantiated. I think that's probably a sign of the least parity that we've had. We're usually more clumped together. And I don't know that that's necessarily good or bad. It's obviously going to happen when you start to sell or stock up on current assets like we have been doing this year more than previous years. So it makes sense in that regard. And I'm not saying it's good or bad for the league, just wanted to point it out. With that said, some power rankings. You know this is tough on me. Every time I have to do this, I don't want to. So I overdo it in fairness. I oversell this position, and I'm going to do that again today. But I am number one in the power rankings this week. And there's no other way around it. I can't talk myself out of that position. Here's why. I'm second in the standings, but I have the longest winning streak at 5 wins, longer than anybody else. I have the most points for at 1071, I think. Got a decent margin there now. I control my own destiny, which nobody's talking about. I control my own destiny because I play Cole in week 13, and I currently have more points than Cole. So there's nothing that Cole can do without me taking a step back that would get him that bye. And as of this week, I am the second team to have clinched the playoffs. Cole and I are the only ones who have clinched it. We do have a few more teams that have excluded themselves while I'm here. Yeah. Anurag and Trey have eliminated themselves from the championship. But so there's four of us that can't be in the championship, and there's two of us that have clinched a playoff berth. I was high points again this week, not only on the week, but also on the season. 12 points higher than the previous record, which was Matt in week four. I've been high points 3 out of 10 weeks, weeks 2, 6, and 10, which really means that I don't need the bye because week 14 I'm destined to be high points again. So yeah, I'm feeling good. My team is hitting its stride. My only real weakness in terms of schedule going forward was this coming week. I have Kenyon Drake out on a bye and some other flex options that were fairly limited. Basically, I needed a running back. A lot of y'all figured that out. Some trade offers went around, ended up making a deal with Rowe, got Marlon Mack. I'm also playing Johnny this week, so I'm not saying it's a lock, but Johnny, I've said you're going to win every week and you haven't won, so I'm not going to keep saying that, especially when you're playing me and I need a win to keep up with Cole. So I feel pretty good about my ability to hold my position at number one in the power rankings. Number two in the power rankings, Cole. It's got to be Cole. Still 9-1. Still holds the standings. He got a big win this week. He just keeps doing it. 133. Actually, the third most points scored. Hank snuck in there, but Cole beat Chris. Cole won another bet against Chris. I don't know why Chris keeps making them at this point. Yeah, he seems unflappable. He's not making any trades. He knows he doesn't have to. He's still got a scary team, and I don't want to run into him until I have to in the playoffs. I'm hoping I get a bye and he loses in the first round. That'd be ideal. Third on the power rankings. You can tell this is unrehearsed. This is very authentic here. Trey. I beat him, but it's still got to be Trey. He scores in droves. He's still out there fighting to make his team better every week. He put up 111 against me. I had a big week. I mean, he still has Aaron Rodgers, Kamara, Hunt, AB. Tariq Cohen is his flex. That's kind of crazy. Hopkins had a bye. Mark Ingram would have helped him this week. It sucks that his Dez Bryant move didn't pan out, how quickly that came to pass. But Trey's team in the playoffs, nobody wants to mess with. He made it a little harder on himself to get a bye this week, by losing this week. He's still only one game up in the tasty coffee tables. Anurag could chase him down, and I guess even Rowe could still chase him down. So we'll see how that plays out. Third, I'm sorry, that was third. Fourth on the power rankings. Who else won this week? That's the real question. Fourth on the power rankings is going to go to Anurag. Yeah, I feel good about that. Anurag's going to get fourth. He's won two in a row, back to back, is now back to back wins, coming off of back to back losses. He got a big win over Rowe. And like I said last week, with both of them neck and neck, that's huge for him in the standings. He's also now pretty much, I mean, nobody's guaranteed a playoff spot, but he should feel pretty good about his playoff odds. He's now two games up on Aditya, three games up on Chris. So it'd be hard to imagine Anurag falling out of the playoff race at this point. Fifth on the power rankings. Hank? Huh? Hank's back to 500. That doesn't feel right. Hank is still 50 points behind anybody, 40 points behind anybody else in points four. Although he's 40 points behind Johnny and Chris, which it probably won't matter with Johnny, but it could matter with Chris, to get him into or out of a playoff spot. I guess 40 points, you could close the gap there. But 2 wins in a row for Hank, put up 136. He's quietly ended up the second most points scored this week, although a far cry from first, I'll say. Big week from Chubb. I'm glad that he took Chubb out of the way for me. Davante Adams, Keenan Allen, Matt Breida keeps getting them points. Shout out to my Niners. Quarterback, still a big weakness for Hank. He's making deals, somehow acquired the quarterback that took him, almost took him down this week. Matt Ryan put up 21 this week against him. So maybe that'll help Hank solidify his playoff chances. But right now, Hank is 2 games. Almost two. Oh yeah, he almost 2 games is the same as not 2 games. He's a game up in the playoff race. The bowl is looking, the championship is looking very unlikely for him. Big turn of events for our GM of the year. Was that fifth, sixth on the power rankings? Matt's gonna hold his place in sixth. Matt put up 125 this week and lost to Aditya in pretty brutal fashion. But Matt's sitting there at 2 wins, looking poised to make a run to get himself out of the championship. In fact, I'm willing to say that Matt's team has gotten better since he quote unquote sold. And if I were a betting man, I would say Matt does not play in the championship game. He had Philip Lindsay and Deshaun Watson out on byes this week, although Trubisky did just fine for him. Allen Robinson was on his bench. That would have really helped. That would have done it for him. He could have won against Aditya with the help of Allen Robinson, or even John Ross would have helped. So keep an eye out for Matt. Seventh on the power rankings. Aditya. That seems wrong. Aditya is sixth. Matt, everything I just said about Matt is seventh. Aditya is sixth. He beat Matt. Aditya is back, as he proclaimed loudly in the text. I loved that. Gurley is still doing Gurley things. Drew Brees is going to be MVP. Aditya arguably has like the two leading MVP candidates on his team. That's nuts. He had Eric Ebron and LeSean McCoy on his bench. They combined for 50 points. He starts those two guys, and he actually makes a run at me for high points, which is pretty crazy. So could really beat up on Matt. But anyways, 129 looks pretty good. Still hasn't scored below 100, which is nuts. He was lingering in like the 102, 103 for 4 or 5 weeks, and he broke back out of that, back into the high 120s. I'm glad that we didn't have to talk about a 7-game losing streak for Aditya. Puts him sixth in the power rankings, back in the playoff hunt. I guess he's the first team out right now. But he's a game up on Chris, two on Matt, three on Johnny. He's only one back of Hank and Roe, and certainly has the firepower to catch one or both of them. In fact, let's take a look at, this is really good podcasting. It's just me clicking around, trying to find Aditya's schedule here. Aditya's schedule, he plays Cole, Roe, and Trey. So that week 12 game against, that's a really tough last 3 weeks. But that week 12 game against Roe could decide a playoff spot there if they both find the same result here in week 11, which, yeah, might involve Aditya having to beat Cole, which would be a real shame if Cole lost this week. All right, so Matt was seven, like I said. So that leaves us with 8, 9, 10. We've got Anurag, Johnny, and Chris. Obvious choice there. And Anurag's going to kill me for this. Yeah, you probably should have been higher, Anurag. Sorry. Anurag won 106-94 over Roe. No, I've already said Anurag. I am totally lost in my own power rankings. I have no idea where I am. I have Roe, Johnny, and Chris left. That's my problem. Roe is going to be eighth on the power rankings. Tough week this week. Only put up 94. Lost obviously to Anurag when he really needed a win, but he had Aaron Jones and Corey Davis and Russell Wilson on his bench. He's got two incredible quarterbacks, at least in the last few weeks. Saquon and Joe Mixon aren't putting up the production that they were earlier in the season, probably contributing to his two-game losing streak here. But if those guys bounce back, I think Rowe's going to be in good shape. Nine is going to be Johnny. Johnny scored over 100 this week. It looked for a while like Johnny had a chance to beat Hank, and just didn't happen. Breida had a crazy game on Monday night, and Kittle just played okay. Johnny's going to get that second win, though. Johnny needs that second win at some point, and I'm frankly surprised it hasn't come yet. If we're looking at Pythagorean wins, Johnny should have 1.5. Wins against average teams, Johnny should have 2. Simulated wins, Johnny should have 3.5. He's just got more there than his record shows, and that's frustrating. But I'll beat him handily this week, and it's not going to matter. Chris coming in at power ranking number 10. Chris's team earlier in the season, I tilted my head one way and felt pretty good about Chris's team. But now I'm tilting my head the other way. And if you look at it, Chris has only scored more than 105 points twice this season. And both times he was high points. He came in at like 150 and, yeah, 154 and 152, which were weeks 4 and 7, everything came together. Chris put up a lot of points. Other than that, he's never broken over 105, and the league average is what, 115? So pretty poor showing there. If you look, Chris also only would have 2 wins against the average team, like I just said, effectively. He has fewer simulated wins than Johnny. I don't think Chris's team is any good. Yeah. If you look at the like top 10 power rankings chart that I've been sending out every week too, Chris has his best position on that any given week was 8th. He blipped up to 8th in week 4 after he scored 154 points. But I'm just going to read these out. Chris was 9th, 10th, 10th, 8th, 10th, 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 and 10th. So I don't think Chris is any good. I don't know why it took me so long to realize this, but Chris might be the worst team in the league right now. Another point about Matt and Johnny, they may be at the bottom of the standings here, but they are both favored in their matchups in weeks 12 and 13. Matt's a slight favorite over Trey, I think mostly based on some buys that Trey has, and Matt's a slight favorite over Anurag as well. Johnny is favorited over Anurag and then over Chris in week 13. So there's reason to believe that each of those guys get 2 more wins. And then you have Chris and Aditya above them in the standings who are not favored in any of their remaining matchups. So if that comes to be, and if those guys lose out or only win one game, we could see a full changing of the guard here between now and the end of the season in terms of who plays in the championship. Another thing I'll point out, the first half of the season, it really felt like the league was top heavy, and it was sort of Matt and Johnny at the bottom. Sorry guys, no offense, but just how it looked. Matt and Johnny at the bottom, and then you had 8 teams that were sort of competing for playoff seeds. And in the last 2 weeks, that has sort of flipped, and we've seen the bottom of the league clump closer together, and sort of Mitre and Cole stratify into our own echelon. So the three of us are at the top, and now it feels like we have 7 teams that are all, scraping the bottom of the barrel, trying to make the playoffs, or look at it the other way, trying to avoid the championship. So, pretty interesting. It's going to be a crazy 3 weeks. I have no idea what's going to happen. But alas, that's where we are. So, let's get into some interviews and get you guys on the phone. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to the pod.
Sick.
I think it's probably best if I just come out and be entirely transparent with you.
Me what?
Someone whose identity probably should remain anonymous for now, doesn't think your team's any good. Would you like to respond?
Oh my God. I would agree with the person. I would tell them that everybody but my two keepers are up for a $1 auction. That's a message I like to get out there.
Would you like to, I guess, Brandon Cooks and I don't even know who your second keeper would be. James White?
No, I sold Brandon Cooks, dog.
I can't keep up. Who are you keeping?
I've Emmanuel Sanders for
Emmanuel Sand. Okay. And
and James White.
James White. Okay. Yeah, so you made a trade this week. You made a couple trades this week?
I did something. I
Yeah.
blacked out.
You got rid of. Okay, we'll start here. What's your name going to be?
So I was actually having a hard time with this earlier today.
I imagine
Like a lot.
so. Yeah.
Like, part of me wanted to keep doing the and flicks and chill, but with what?
Right.
I don't know.
Traquan Flicks kind of has a
So,
ring to it.
okay, what?
Traquan Flicks.
That actually does have, that sounds like a rapper name.
Did you charge Roe more because you're gonna have to change your name?
No, but I did consider giving him the stipulation that he has to change his name to For Netflix and Chill. But I was starting to lose him there at the end, and I didn't wanna
That's fair.
push the envelope.
So you're totally out. You've given up on the playoffs.
Whoa! You don't think I'm about to steamroll these next three games?
I didn't say that. I wanted you to say that.
I mean, every hole's been plugged, Scott.
I don't want to ask more questions about that.
No. I mean, I took a look at it. Basically, last week was the third week I had put up less than 100, and then I was gonna have to go through you at some point. So that was a game I was just chalking up to a loss, and I wasn't gonna need to win all three to make it. It just didn't make sense. It wasn't gonna happen.
Okay, that's fair. I have bad news for you. Last week was actually the fourth week you failed to put up 100, but that's fair. Yeah, you gotta play
Wait, what was
Hank.
that? Sorry, you cut out.
Last week was actually the fourth week you haven't put up 100.
Is it in a row?
Oh, in a row, you're right. Wow, that's even
Yeah.
worse.
Yeah, dog.
Wow.
That's tough stuff.
Hey, at least you made out with 20 bucks.
I'd say that's what I think. I'm still trying to get. So, Roe had some weird stipulation. Maybe it was because he was 5-5, where he didn't feel comfortable doing 20. And so then he said 18, and we met on the middle at 19.
Oh,
And he's trying. It
that's
drives me
funny.
insane that it's 19.
I actually meant, yeah, that is funny. Trey's deal for 38, I'm sure, had something along those lines too. I actually meant that you won High Points twice. You like actually made 20 real dollars.
Oh, did I win 5 points twice? I know I have two of the highest scores of this season, but I thought the other 150 I put up was overshadowed by
Oh, you might
somebody.
be right. You won it once. Okay. I stand corrected. Are you going to end up in the championship?
I think it's looking that way. There's a good chance that if somehow I played Johnny the last week, I could somehow stay ahead of Matt if Matt doesn't win his games. And he's got hard matchups, so I don't know. I'm counting on it.
Yeah. How do you like, how does one mentally prepare for this?
Basically, you stop caring about, once you've accepted that you'll be in the championship, you stop thinking about the games in between and you focus on week 15 and trying to get
Yes.
players with that matchup set to win.
I think it's actually week 14. I hope you haven't been.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I haven't started. I have not started that prep yet.
Okay.
Right
All
now,
right.
it's just unload and restock.
Focus on week 14. It's going to be the first week of the playoffs.
Is that so? Oh, that's right. So it's the first game of the losers bracket of the
Yeah. I mean, it's
ninth
sort of
best player.
unfortunate that it's timed that way because it's overshadowed by the 7-8 matchup, but it's the best we could do.
That's true. That's true. Well, every matchup is overshadowed by the
Yeah,
7-8 matchup.
I mean, you still have that to look forward to. Repeat 7-8 matchup could be kind of a badass thing to say going into 2019.
That would be pretty sweet. I don't know. Who am I going to get, though, like I did here?
I don't know, somebody that better look good in a red dress, I'll tell you what.
Hopefully somebody's willing to agree to these terms again.
Yeah, speaking of bets, you lost another bet to Cole.
That was fucking heart-wrenching,
That
honestly.
was. You lost in terrible fashion.
Pardon my French on the pod, but oh my God. This is like, because he sold, like, I've ever since the first auction dollar trade, I've voted against it. I've never wanted it in it at all, but I've realized that my principles are not worth continuously losing to Cole in this league. I cannot continue to do this.
So next year's the year that you're going to stop losing to Cole?
Yeah. Well, the problem is, like, you know, that we're in these two leagues together, and when we play, and each time we bet in both leagues, the time I won in the other league. My team is equal to or better than his in the other league, and I made the mistake of combining the two scores instead of just getting the W. I lost it. I won it, but I still lost.
You should have taken everything you could get. So my advice was going to be that you should stop making bets with Cole, but
I have a
you've
gambling
actually
problem,
gone
dude.
the other way. You've steered into this, and you're just going to figure out a way to improve your odds in future bets with Cole.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if I suffer. My own suffering is far less impactful to me than the chance of making Cole suffer.
Wow, okay. Yeah, it takes me a second to wrap my head around that, but I really like the way that sounds. I might reuse that.
I mean, it's the way I have to approach this at this point in my life.
That's fair. All right. Well, man, this has been a real downer so far. What else is going on? What, tell me a positive thing in your life.
Positive thing in my life. Well, I have 19 auction dollars going to next year right now,
That's
and
true.
that's a positive thing that I've been thinking about a lot, actually.
And you've got two pretty cheap keepers, right?
I do, yeah. I'm liking the Sanders and the White keep, and I'm after this year, I'm very much off the keeping somebody for a lot of money, even if it's more than what they would go for, and or better than what they'd go for in the draft. Because I don't know, I just got absolutely boned by Fournette this year.
Yeah, it is a big risk. Yeah, and it's interesting because like Le'Veon Bell would be an example of somebody else that was even more expensive and was also a big risk and also didn't play much or at all.
Yeah,
But
exactly. I
the
mean,
risk played out really different for Onorog with James Conner than it did for you with TJ Yeldon.
yeah, that's the thing. The biggest mistake I had in the draft is that I handcuffed the wrong RB. I like went into the draft and like, I got Fournette. Oh, I'm gonna get Shady for cheap. Let me handcuff him. I didn't even think about handcuffing Fournette.
That's rough. How much of a relief is it that you don't have to do deep web research on Fournette's injuries week to week anymore?
I want to say great, but I'm hoping that I gave Rowe something worth having.
Wow, that sounds really genuine.
You gotta know, you negotiate with this guy. He's like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
I want to take advantage of him, but I want him to take advantage of me at the same time.
Right. Mutual advantage taking.
Yeah, almost a romantic sort of deal.
Right. So, speaking of romantic sorts of deals, what are you going to do to Hank this week?
Oh my God. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with Mike Tyson, but I'm going to try and make him my girlfriend.
Perfect. It's inexplicable to me. We talked about this in text messages the week I was playing Hank. Hank shouldn't
It's
be winning.
upsetting.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. It ruffles my feathers, I'll tell you what.
I have had a garbage pile of a season, and I still have scored more points than Hank.
Yes. Mostly in 2 weeks, two specific weeks of yours.
Yes,
You've
very boom or bust.
each scored under 100 four times. And you've each competed for the lowest score on the season. You've each had a 70-ish week. That's heartbreaking, but it happens to the best of us. But yeah, like Hank should not finish above 500. And if he beats you next week, you're looking at the championship, and he's looking at like a comfortable playoff bid.
Yeah, it's funny how life works out like that, honestly.
Don't let it happen. That's all I'm asking. Don't let it happen. That's all I'm asking.
I'm trying, man. I'm doing everything I can besides keeping my most valuable players. Other than that, I am doing everything in my power.
That's good. That's really good. Would you have kept Fournette again?
No, absolutely not.
Do you think Rowe will keep Fournette?
No, because of the two that I gave him, I think Cooks is the better keeper, and he said he wasn't interested in keeping Cooks. Like when I made that point during our like little exchange, he said that the keeper value didn't matter to him because he wasn't going to keep Cooks.
Interesting. Who's
Yeah,
the
I don't know,
pickup?
man. I don't know. He kept
Oh, I
Mixon
guess
this
he has
past year.
Saquon and Mixon, but Saquon's going to be too expensive.
I'll say, yeah, Saquon is not going to be cheap.
Yeah.
But he'll probably go for more next year. I mean, he went that high without the, like, season to have behind him.
Right. Huh.
It's wild stuff.
Yeah, I think we're really going to rethink our keepers next year.
Then, dude, the next owner's call is going to be, we should have it in decades. It's going to be so lit.
We might need Juan there to keep us all separated if things get hairy.
Yeah. I mean, the auction dollars is just, I don't know how you regulate it. I don't know how you make it equal across the board, because in these trades, like, the status of somebody else's team, like, drastically affects how much an auction dollar is worth to them.
Yes. I will say that I think two things could benefit the long-term health of that battle. One would be if Matt sneaks his way out of the championship, which I think is sort of likely, because he looked like things could not get worse for him, and then he sold, and things have gotten better for him.
I was looking at Matt's team, and, like, if he had held on, like, I almost feel like he would have just gone on a tear and, like, made it into the playoffs.
And then the other thing that could happen that would be good for the long-term health of the league, although at the expense of me likely, would be if next year Trey and I, oh no, this would be good for me obviously. If Trey and I were really, really good next year,
Yeah.
after giving away a bunch of auction dollars and like admitting it was going to be a bad year, that would just piss everybody off and be like, well, clearly you can find value with anything, so like this is all a farce and we're not going to make these massive trades anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like, I mean, I feel like even if you and Trey do like really well, like, I don't know, people are still, if you're in the situation that, like, Johnny is in, and you're like 1-8, like,
You're still going to try it.
getting auction dollars for next year does not hurt your chances
Right,
at
that's a
all.
good point. Although, yeah, we could also move the. I think it's safe that we can move the trade deadline back a week earlier. For instance, like, Aditya won this past weekend and then decided to sell, which is a really weird combination. I don't know. I think we could, like, make people decide earlier would probably help.
Yeah, I mean, this week was pivotal for me. Like, if I had beaten Cole, I wouldn't have sold.
Right, yeah. Okay, so with that said, before I let you go, who do you think wins the championship?
I think based, I mean, it's between you, Trey, Cole, and Roe at this point. I think Roe's team is now, the pieces that I gave him is pretty. As long as Fournette stays healthy, like, it's pretty formidable. Because he's got that. You and Roe have that advantage over the other two, where you both have an elite tight end.
True. Yeah, that is big this year.
Like, everyone else has these huge names for, like, quarterback, wide receiver, and stuff, but
I
you guys both have Kelce and Ertz.
made the joke on the text thread that if you have two Jacksonville running backs, do you really have one? But if you have two Jacksonville running backs plus Mixon plus Barkley, at some point, like so one of those is on the bench every week.
Honestly, if with the between the two of them, if Fournette is healthy, like, he's an animal, and if he's not, TJ Yeldon is an RB1. Like, he was RB8 going into week 9.
Right.
And that was having, like, Carlos Hyde come over and with Fournette healthy-ish for two games.
Right. That's
So he gets it
fair.
done.
Yeah.
As for the that's a tough question. Who actually is going to win the whole thing?
If you were in the playoffs, if week one of the playoffs was this week and you were in it, what team would you least want to play?
Honestly, I think Trey.
I think so too.
The Alvin, the Kamara, Hunt, Brown, Hopkins, just those four right in your face is
Right.
horrifying.
I had yeah, I real so like when you start to look at Trey's roster when it's like across from you in the matchup screen, you realize how good it is. And
Yeah.
I had like that perfect Thursday night where I got 34 from McCaffrey and 17 from Juju, and I was like, yeah, that could not have gone any better for me. And I was only favored by 2 points in the matchup at the end of the night. I was like, what the hell? And then Sunday afternoon, the 1 o'clock game started. And Tyreek Hill had like a 50-yard touchdown pass in like the first 5 minutes, so he jumps out to like 15 points or whatever. And I look at the matchup again, and I'm expected to lose. I was like, how could this possibly, who could possibly beat Trey? And it obviously worked out for me, but it was just like so intimidating to look at it next to you.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about this past week. You knocked me off the league high score.
The league high score?
For the seasons that I've been at, I've had the highest score at 168 points something. Oh. And you just knocked that off.
Wow. I didn't even realize that. It's even better. Huge week.
Yeah, that's big for you.
Yeah, very big. Well, it was an honor. I don't take it lightly.
One thing about this past matchup, like, you're like, I'm like trying to decide if I want to take this bet or not. Like, is it wise to combine two? And I'm, this is like a couple weeks ago we're talking about this. And I'm like, okay, this is fine. I think I can do this. My team's good enough in the other league. And then this week finally comes and like the projections and stuff come up. I look down Cole's like opponent rank and it's just all green. It's all like 29, 32. And I'm just like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah. Give him a softball. That's rough. We feel for you. Let us know how we can help in your chauffeuring experience.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe, and it's going to primarily accept auction dollars. So
perfect.
Feel free to let the pod know.
All right. That sounds good. All right. We're going to let you go, but a pleasure, and best of luck tanking the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks, man. You good, too. Good luck in the playoffs there, man.
All right. Thanks, buddy. See ya.
See ya.
What's up, Trey? How you doing? Welcome to the pod.
Hey, how's it going, Kamish?
I'm doing well. Are you recovering from your brutal loss?
I am. It was rather rough seeing that happen to me. If I have to go down, though, I would rather go down where there is no chance that I could have won.
Yeah.
Rather.
Yeah, it's always reassuring when it's you know, some insane score that you couldn't have kept up with on your best day.
Yeah.
And 111, you had a respectable amount of points. You can feel good about that.
Yeah, one of my recently acquired stars not in this week on his bye, so you got to do what you got to do to try to scrape together a less than star lineup this week against you. So
I don't we'll like see, I don't like you spinning it like no. Just admit that I beat you fair and square. No, that's fair. Yeah, DeAndre on the bye definitely hurts you. Yeah, and then the Dez injury. Tell us about, what are your thoughts on the Dez injury? How does that feel?
I mean, it's a little sad. I didn't really have long enough to become invested in it.
Fair.
But, hey, man, I mean, I think he gets health care when he signs with a team, right? So better to do that doing on a team and signed a contract for then. In trying to train himself up to get on a team.
Yeah, definitely. You had a pretty excited text in the group text this week about how many trades were going around and how you thought it was pretty good for the league. Expand on that. Tell us more about your trade erection.
Yes, it is. I'm fully torqued up right now. I think it's fun that we kind of haven't stood pat with our rosters. I know this is a little bit more long-term because there's buyers and sellers rather than people just shuffling their rosters. But I do like it when you never know who's going to be like a key piece for a team. Coming out of the auction, you have your guys that you think or you're hoping are going to be the mainstays of your team, but if you shuffle everything around, you get some great pickups from the waiver wire, your team can look completely different by the end of the season, and I think that's kind of cool. So I just think it's fun when everybody's kind of wheeling and dealing, there's a little more action, and it's just kind of exciting.
Yeah, it definitely spices up the week when, like, Tuesday through Thursday, there's, like, just as much talk, if not more, going around. That's fair. The only downside that I see is it seems to have disrupted parity a little bit, which is to be expected. But in the long term, it's probably better for parity of the league, where you're not going to have teams that are like perennial bottom dwellers. You'll always have a chance to bounce back. So on the aggregate, owners will always feel like they have a championship season in them in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I think like you have like your keeper values and everything, like, and you can say some of it is like skill and just like watching the news or just having a job where you can watch things come across the Twitter feed and then go right to the app and pick stuff up, but also just being able to get chances at those players and then not have them be just like tied down, I guess.
Right.
You have those teams that are willing to like, oh, I had this great pickup and now I'm doing really well. And the next season he'll be a good pickup as well. But you have that incentive to go for it and kind of wash away some of that future with that player to try to like win it all in one season. So I think it could in essence mess up parity during like a single season, but overall I think it gives everyone more of a chance year over year to go like to decide if I'm going to go after it
right
or not.
Okay, that's fair. So you are playing Anurag this week, which is a matchup of the two best teams in the Tasty Trash Can. So there's loosely a first round bye on the line, although I think you could probably lose and still hold the tiebreaker if you had to. Are you going to beat Anurag?
Well, I'm pretty confident in my own squad. I was hoping last week that I would still have a 2-game lead, but thanks. yeah, and it just kind of feels like
Anurag seems kind of on a roll.
Yeah.
He's got two wins, and he won in style last week.
It's getting closer to, like, that bye, too, so I was hoping to be trending the opposite direction. But I'll have to say, if I lose to one of the top teams and just get blown out while doing it, there's not much I can do about it.
Right.
So
right.
I would like to beef my guys up, get them ready to go this week. We've been running some suicides in practice to keep our endurance up. So I'm ready to go this week, and I hope Anurag brings his best, and then I just destroy him.
Fair. I think the good news is a win, no matter what else happens in the league, if you win, you clinch a playoff spot, if I'm looking at this right. Because even if Aditya wins, you'd be 3 games up on him with 2 weeks to play. So you got that going for you.
And I do play him one more time, Aditya at least.
That's true, yeah.
So
the flip side, though, is if you lose and Roe beats Matt, which one could reasonably expect, then suddenly you and Anurag are tied at 7 wins, and Roe's only 1 back of you at 6 wins, and Roe's a lot closer to you in the tiebreaker than Anurag is. So you could end up the 4 seed, even the 5 seed.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take this 1 week at a time and try to focus on this week and then hopefully make sure I come out as that 1 seed in my division.
Fair. I like that attitude. before I let you go, how was the date?
The date was – it was good.
Has there been a second – will there be a second date?
Probably not.
Okay, fair
enough.
It
was fun, but we just didn't seem – like, it was fun, casual conversation, but nothing, like, super – catching or interesting. So
fair.
Just reading the body language, thinking, she's not that interested. I'm not that interested. Probably just easy to let this go and go.
Nice. But all right. Well,
I did just get drafted into the league. So a plug there. I don't know. That's like a dating app thing that's supposedly exclusive.
Oh,
and
how does one get into that? Not the asking for a friend.
So they apparently you sign up and do all this stuff. You get put on a wait list, and yesterday it said I was on 11,000 out of 13,000 people in Houston signed up on the wait list. And then all of a sudden today they said, hey, we think you're going to be a superstar, so we let you in. So I don't know if like it's just like a, hey, we'll wait you a day and see if you pay us the $99 to get in immediately.
Jeez.
Or not. So,
wow.
But,
okay.
But I made it in.
Hey.
And then I didn't have to pay any money.
That's so. All that matters. Who knows? Tomorrow could be the day that you meet the one. So,
yeah. Hey, if you're not out there,
you're not out there. You can't win. The old saying, if you're not out there, you're not out there. That's right. All right. Well, best of luck against Anurag this week, and hopefully you bounce back from this loss, and we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, Kamish. I will hope to see you again in the playoffs and then utterly crush you to make up for the loss last week.
That seems fair. All right, I'll see you then.
See ya.
Hello.
Hello, Hank. Welcome to the pod. How are you?
Doing well. How's it going, Scott?
I'm doing well. You're coming off a big win this week, and you're back to 500. How does that feel?
Feels great. Feels great.
Does it feel wrong at all?
No, it feels very, very right, I would say. Listen, it's about wins, all right?
It is about wins. People forget about that. Yes.
People forget about that.
Man, okay, so you're at 500. You're playing Chris this week. We just had Chris on the pod. You'll hear it tomorrow. He's all but given up in every facet of the game. So you got to be feeling good about that. Are you?
I do feel good about that.
What week are? I can't believe I even have to ask it this way. What week do you expect to clinch a playoff berth?
Well, probably not until. How many? We have 3 weeks left. Probably not until the last week. To be honest, let's say I beat Chris this week, and then Aditya. He needs to lose.
You have to win two, and he has to lose two for you to clinch because he's so far ahead of you in points.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be after that.
At best week 12. Man, that's crazy. So you're in good shape.
Feeling good.
You just picked up a quarterback. That's big.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to make a quarterback trade in this league?
Not that difficult. Clearly,
actually, let's rewind to before you have to make this quarterback trade. Let's talk about me playing quarterback keep away.
Do we have to talk about that?
We get to talk about this, yes, because it actually made the difference in our matchup. So you had, I don't even know who's on. Oh, you had Jameis Winston, right, on your roster the week before we played.
I had switched. That's right.
You had somebody wasn't actually going to be an NFL starter.
I had Jameis Winston because it was that game where he got cut out for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then they announced that Fitzpatrick was going to start the next week.
Yeah, so I bid like half of my money. I bid like $30 on Fitzpatrick. Can you divulge what you bid? Did you bid anything of substance?
Yeah. You could look it up. I think it was $10.
Did you think that I was going to do that?
No, I did not. Otherwise, I might have bet more. I don't think I would have bid all the way up to 30. But I don't really have much to say about that. I was surprised that you did it. I was more angry that it worked.
So you ended up with Matt Stafford, who scored 6. Mm-hmm. Fitzpatrick sat on my bench and scored 24, and I only beat you by.
Yeah.
13. So.
Yeah, I appreciate the move, and I wasn't angry about the move. I was just angry that it worked.
Fair. That's very fair. Anyways, it's finally worked out for you. You got Matt Ryan. How do you feel about Matt Ryan going forward?
Good. I would say that I looked at a few different options to pick up a quarterback this week. I actually like Dak Prescott, but I figured if I could pick off one of the better quarterbacks on one of the worst teams. Like basically anyone that's out of the running, I was looking at their quarterbacks, and Matt Ryan was the one that stuck out to me as one that I should go after, and was able to make the deal with Johnny, and here we are.
It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. If I were to cut Ryan Fitzpatrick right now, would you pick him up and drop Matt Ryan?
I wouldn't drop Matt Ryan. I don't know. I might pick him up just because it would feel better to have him on our roster.
Yeah, that's fair.
But no, I won't. He would be the backup.
And we actually get Dak and Matt Ryan playing each other. We get to watch this entire trade unfold in one NFL game.
Yeah, it'll be a good matchup. I think that I'd prefer to have Matt Ryan, but honestly, I think Dak Prescott's going to have a good game too. For me, it was more about making sure that I could make it to the playoffs comfortably.
Yeah.
And for Johnny, it's a bigger focus on him avoiding losing the bowl. And so that week 14 where The Falcons are playing the Packers on the road in December, which could turn into a terrible weather game, which would be bad for quarterbacks. And then Dak Prescott's playing indoors.
Right.
So that would be, that's kind of what I think we were thinking of. Plus, since quarterbacks are so cheap in the auction, it really, I wasn't going to pay a lot of money for it. I would have been fine just rolling with Dak Prescott if it didn't work out.
Yeah, and I think that's why I just assume it's hard to make a straight-up quarterback trade in this league, because you can't entice somebody with much keeper value, if any at all.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into the same problem last year where I've decided that all quarterbacks were the same, and then I couldn't get any quarterback production. I was getting pissed, so I made the deal for Russell Wilson. It ended up not making a difference. This year, I was like, screw it. I don't want to deal with this quarterback crap that I've had last year. Got Russell Wilson in the draft, and then Russell Wilson turned into a bust, and then you could do the math, you're a stats guy, but I'm pretty sure I have like the lowest quarterback production of anybody throughout the season.
It definitely feels that way.
I've had like, you know what's funny? Here's a good stat for you. At multiple times this year, I've had a quarterback that was outscored by another quarterback on their team in the game.
Oh, wow.
So
I guess Ryan Fitzpatrick did that to Jameis week 9.
I'm trying to think, there was definitely another one
too. That's insane. That's like, it's bad when you have a quarterback on your bench.
I think like Andy Dalton got pulled or something, and the guy behind him made a touchdown drive. Yeah, it's been brutal. So it feels good to have Matt Ryan. Hopefully that works out for me going forward.
Yeah. Okay, so what is your confidence level of making the playoffs?
It's pretty high because we're now at 4 teams that are sellers. I'm still a little nervous about Aditya, but really, all he has is Todd Gurley. The rest of his team's not good. And he's playing 3 guys that are good. I don't know what his schedule is, but it's like 3 teams that are among the top teams in our league.
Yeah.
So I could effectively lose out and still make the playoffs. And I feel comfortable that I could beat Chris this week, and then I'd be in a really good spot.
Interesting. Yeah, you make a good point about the sellers, except that Matt sold first, and his team has only looked stronger since then.
Yeah, I think that's, as you would say, an anomaly.
Or
regression to the mean on its way.
Or a sign that we have no earthly idea what we're doing at any point in time.
That may also be the case.
What percentage? So what percentage of you is worried that you could end up in the championship?
Oh, 0%.
I guess it's...
0%. I don't think that is possible. Maybe it might be mathematically possible, but it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy to me that you have all but officially ruled yourself out of that.
I'm feeling good. I think it's likely that I make the playoffs, and when you get there, anything's possible.
That's right.
I'd love to see you in there, Scott. I'm hoping that you get the 3 seed and we meet in the first round.
Are you Are you the team that no one wants to face right now?
I think so. I have the least to lose.
You're definitely. You're playing with house money.
Playing with the house's money.
There are a number of really scary cliches that we could apply to your team when you make the playoffs this year.
I'm wild, Scott. You don't want to play me.
You are. Who do you think wins the other division? We're in the blue buttholes together.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think comes out? Actually, here's a better question for you. That was a bad question. I'll ask later. I'm gonna ask a good question now. Who's the best team whose owner lives in New York City?
That is a good question.
It's a really hard one right now.
The best team that resides in New York City.
Yeah, you row and honor.
Yeah.
I
would say probably on paper after this last couple of days of trading, I would say Rohan probably has the best team on paper. But with that said, I'm taking my team over everybody.
Ooh.
I'm feeling good.
There's an argument to be had there. I can't say that you're objectively wrong.
I got a couple of wins under my belt. I think that I have enough firepower to make some noise, and in a one-game playoff scenario.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I would be scared if I was one of the top dogs that was heavily invested this year.
Oh dear. I just made a mistake and clicked on projected playoff bracket. If the playoffs started today, you and I would play each other in the first round.
Oh man, that's got to make you feel good.
That just made my stomach sink. That was like zooming in on whoever you had on Sunday night when I realized that we were playing each other and it was going to be close.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not a lock, as we've just discussed, but there's four teams that have started tanking below me. That's all I need.
Specifically all you need. Do you think that the trade deadline is in the right week?
That's going to be a broader conversation. I think a lot of people are going to have opinions on that. Personally, I haven't decided.
Okay.
I haven't decided. I think that we'll probably end up making some changes as a league, given all the tanking.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have the best answer for you right now in the pod. What I would think, and we'll have, I'm sure, hours of conversation about this.
Can't wait.
That we need to – the biggest issue is the tanking, because then it throws off basically everybody, because everybody is involved one way or the other.
Yeah.
Truly, I think everyone in our league has made an auction dollar deal this year, except for Cole, who made two at the end of last year. So for me, the biggest issue is the tanking, and the way to stem that is to have a much, much harsher penalty for the loser.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like people don't want to make a music video, but if we had something that people really didn't want to do,
right,
that, like, put a little more fear into them,
yeah,
they'd be less likely to tank at the end of the year.
Yeah, like, this punishment doesn't, like, keep you up at night.
No, it's preemptively. Like, I don't really want to do it, but if I was in a position where it was, like, try to set myself up for next year and risk doing this penalty a little bit more, it's like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So... something that, like, someone really doesn't want to do would probably lead to less tanking. That's my original thought here, but
I'm sure
we'll have many more to talk about.
And probably, like, Aditya did a really good job of it, and I think probably made it look easier than it actually will be if I had to do it. But, like, something probably avoiding repeating consequences would be a good thing going forward as well in the same vein.
Yeah. I like the music video idea. Clearly, it hasn't been a detractor enough for people to really try to avoid it.
Right, right. Okay. Who do you think wins the other division?
Probably Trey.
You think he holds on?
Yeah, I mean, it's either Trey or Anurag, right? I don't think Rohan's going to catch him. I don't think Anurag's good enough to catch him either.
Well... Anurag and Trey play each other this week. So if Anurag wins and Ro wins, then Ro's a game back of both of them with two to play.
Yeah. I would say Trey. It's clearly the front runner on that side.
Yeah.
I'm more interested to see who comes out on top on our side, you or Cole.
Yeah?
Tell me your thoughts.
I ask the questions here.
okay.
I have the points tiebreaker, which makes me feel better, but I have to win that Week 13 matchup.
Yeah, definitely.
I hope neither of us lose in the next 2 weeks. Or I should say this. I hope that we are still a game apart when we go into that matchup, because I want that to, like, decide it. But I would be terrified of that matchup. I think Cole's team is insanely good. He, for some reason, until, what, last week when he finally won high points, he doesn't put up, like, the 150 scores. But as, like, Chris has proven this year, putting up 150 a couple of times doesn't mean you're a good team either.
And Matt.
Yeah, and Matt. Yeah, that's right. Cole, on the other hand, like, if you told me to just make a flat-out bet on a random week that one team scored between 120 and 140, I'm betting Cole's team.
Yeah,
and it just seems like every week when you, like, you know, Sunday at 3 o'clock, you pull out your phone and check how's everyone doing. Cole is consistently projected at, you know, 125, 130, no matter who's on his bench or whatever. So that terrifies me, just knowing that, like, I need the stars to align a little bit, and Cole just needs it to be a week with NFL games on the TV.
Yeah, well, clearly you also have the firepower based on your... Let me be the last to congratulate you on that 171. That was impressive.
That's a big number.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm worried that I scored all my points in week 10.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Question for you. If Le'Veon got dropped right now, would you bid on him?
I would bid all of my dollars that I have left on him, yes.
Really?
As should anyone. Huh. I would imagine. I think there's, yeah, I hope that never comes to play, because that would just be a complete wrench in our league. But we would have to have a conversation on the fairest way to deal with that. Because think about that. I mean, he's going to be a star next year for whatever team he's on. I don't know. I would bid all my money. I'll say it on the pod.
Okay. Interesting. But so why aren't you trying to make a trade for him?
Because if you trade for him, then you have to keep him for 100. I'm not going to keep him for 100, but I would keep him for 6.
Well, Aditya could give you auction dollars to subsidize that.
Why would he do that?
Well, it doesn't make much sense in this scenario, because he's a seller and you're trying to make the playoffs right now. But when it was Onorog, who's likely going to make the playoffs, you would think like someone like Matt could get Onorog to give him Le'Veon and cash in exchange for current assets. Like, Matt would keep Le'Veon for 75 if Onorog threw in $20, gets to hold on to James Conner, and gets, you know, pick your Matt asset, although he's picked clean at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there might be some scenario where it makes sense. I'm not going to go after him when there's $100
right, at stake. Right, right, right.
But I would, for a dollar, absolutely.
Fair. Absolutely. I do think this is a, and I don't want to get too far into this because I'm about to get Onorog on the line and we're gonna have at this, I think. But I do think this is a prime example of why free agent auction dollars should be linked to draft dollars.
Yeah, we can discuss that. I would be open to discussing that. I don't have a strong opinion on it right now. I think that would make sense.
Yeah. Because then, like, you could wage all your free agent dollars right now, but mm-hmm. at some point, like, if you bid $75, you'd be keeping him for 80 anyways. You might as well just trade for him.
Yeah. I wouldn't be against that. I don't know if that makes a... Yeah, I guess that would make an impact in some situations.
Yeah. Anyways, but, all right.
I think we have bigger fish to fry.
We definitely have bigger fish to fry, and I can't wait to fry them with you and all of our best friends sometime long, long time from now.
Yes, when all this is over.
Yes. We're gonna sit back and have a beer while Johnny drinks 13 of them and talk about the future of this league. That's right. All right, well, best of luck this week. Clinch that playoff berth somehow.
Thanks.
At least mathematically eliminate yourself from the championship. I think that'd be big.
I'll see what I can do about that.
And then one of us will come in second. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, one of us will have to do it.
We've got to. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye, Scott.
All right, guys, just hung up with Hank, and Onorog shot me a text saying he won't be able to get on tonight. So, no Onorog, but in his absence, I do still want to talk about what I planned to address with him, which was what's going on with Le'Veon Bell and how that impacts our league. So some background that Onorog has allowed me to share. He shot me a text last night basically saying, would it be possible for me to, as commissioner, to effectively remove Le'Veon Bell from... I mean, the only way I can think to do this would be to remove Le'Veon Bell from the player universe. His real question was, let me find it exactly. Can there be some exception made for dropping someone like Bell with the understanding that no one picks him up? What's to stop a DTF from dropping him besides just a simple love of the league? That's a fair question. Obviously, you just heard Hank say that he would bet all of his money, or he would wager all of his money, and it would just come down to who had the most. I think Matt does. He has the most auction budget left at this point. That question actually surprised me last night, and you could probably tell in my voice I was surprised by Hank's answer tonight as well. I didn't think that was a universal view that Le'Veon would be worth that next year. And I think the reason there's a few things here. One, I don't think this is actually like logistically plausible. I don't think I can really make that happen in our league. We would all just have to promise, and anyone could break that promise, and it would cause chaos. So I would discourage that. But I think there's still some uncertainty of just what's going to happen to Le'Veon Bell next year. As I understand it, there are three possible outcomes. The first one is very unlikely, and that is that the Steelers refranchise him, and that the way the letter of the law is written, they can technically refranchise him as if this year never happened, and make him start back from where he was in the summer of 2018, but just in the summer of 2019. Basically, everything I've heard says that's not going to happen because that would just cause terrible negotiations in future players' union contracts, so unlikely that the league would let that happen. Option number two is that the Steelers refranchise him, and it counts as the next franchise tag in his life, and that means that he gets the quarterback option, which is like $25 million instead of $14 million or whatever it is. So they pay him a lot more if he showed up, and they're probably unlikely to do that. The third option, which everyone seems to think is the most likely, but I still don't fully understand it, and I've done enough research to be confused, not enough to find anything that's totally substantiated. The third option is they can transition tag him, which means that they basically re-sign him. He'd be paid somewhere between $9.5 and $14 million based on an arbitrator's decision, but he could field offers from any other team, and any team that gives him an offer, the Steelers then get the right to match. So Anurag basically said he's going to play for somebody next year, and based on that, somebody other than the Steelers next year, and based on that, he's going to be worth exactly what we thought he was worth this year, which was $95 to auction or whatever. And I actually disagree. I think there's a chance that the Steelers stick this out on principle because they didn't pay him very much this year. And if they refranchise him and he holds out again, they won't pay him very much next year. They're only paying James Conner $800,000. So on principle, I could see a world where they stick up for the owners in the NFL and do that the same way he's sticking up for the players and sitting out a season. Even if he does play, let's say he plays for the Steelers, they just pay him an ungodly amount of money. He's a year older, now he's splitting carries with James Conner. What do you do there? The more likely option is that he goes to another team, and that seemed to be what Anurag was getting at. My problem with that theory is, so let's just take, we'll say the Redskins, because we're all familiar. Let's say AP retires and Chris Thompson leaves and whatever. There's a vacancy at running back, and they say, it's our life's mission to sign Le'Veon Bell. And let's say in this scenario that the Steelers transition tag him, and it comes out to $10 million, what they agree to pay him by the arbitrator. The Redskins can go and say, all right, Le'Veon, we're going to give you $11 million, or we're going to give you $30 million over 3 years, or whatever it is. One, that's still not the amount of money that he was asking for this year. So there's still reason to believe he wouldn't accept that offer until it goes much, much higher than the franchise, the transition tag amount. And two, there's no reason to believe that the Steelers wouldn't just match whatever. So let's say the Redskins say, okay, we'll offer you way more. We'll give you $16 million a year, or we'll give you $45 million over 3 years. Something that's way, that actually is the money you're asking for. What's to say that the Steelers aren't going to just match that on principle and do the same thing that they were doing in scenario two, where they say you're stuck on our team on principle. We know you're going to hold out. We know we're not going to pay you anything, and we're fine with all of the above because James Conner is a stud and he's getting $800K. Even if all of that gets washed away, let's say the Redskins come back and offer him $20 million a year, something insane, the Steelers say, okay, fine, have him, we're done with our principles. And he signs with another team. He's a year older, hasn't played football in almost 2 years, I guess 18, 20 months. He's in like Andrew Luck territory of, we don't really know what he looks like on a football field anymore. And there's this massive question lingering about, was he a product of the system where, you know, James Conner on the Redskins this year probably isn't a 1,000-yard rusher, but James Conner on the Steelers is the next Le'Veon Bell. So what does that make Le'Veon Bell on the Redskins next year? Is he a 1,000-yard rusher? Hard to say. The eye test, he looks better than James Conner on the average play, whatever. You make your own assessment. And I'm not trying to convince anybody that Le'Veon Bell isn't worth bidding on if he's a free agent. I'm not trying to convince Aditya to drop him. All I'm trying to do is bring into question this idea that, like, there's clarity in his future and that there's clarity in his value beyond that future. The other thing, and I brought this up with Hank, and I'll say it again, is that if there's this much demand, if everyone was just going to bid all of their money and Matt was going to take him as a free agent, then why doesn't Matt have him in a trade? Why isn't Matt subsidizing the auction or getting a DTO or Anurag to subsidize the auction cost of him? Why hasn't that demand transferred for these people that are collecting auction dollars right now for 2019? Why aren't they collecting Le'Veon Bell for 2019? And I guess until yesterday, until Tuesday afternoon, Anurag wasn't going to give up on him. And then our trade deadline is Thursday morning, obviously. So there's only a 48-hour window where this trade could happen. But I would just think if the demand is really what everyone thinks it is across our league, then there'd be machinations in that direction. And to my understanding, there aren't any, because I've talked to Aditya and Anurag about this, and they both have the same concern about the free agency. So anyways, it's all a mystery. It's kind of unique. Like I said to Hank, I firmly believe this is an indication that we should link free agent auction budget to draft auction budget. That way, you know, you can bid higher and higher and higher, but with every dollar you bid higher, the return on investment is lower next year when you've got to pay that plus five or whatever we determine it is. It'd be unclear, for instance, if keeping him counts as year one or year two or whatever. We don't have to get into all that, but something to think about, something to chew on. In the meantime, I guess I'm hoping that a DT doesn't drop him, but I can't stop it. There's nothing I can do if it does happen, and the auction is there for a reason. So we'll see what happens if it happens, and maybe Matt will make a trade in the next 14 hours and 47 minutes. But anyways, thanks for listening. Anurag, sorry I had to do that without you. I really would have appreciated bouncing back and forth, because I know you feel strongly and you've got some good insight, probably a little more research than I do. And you had some really strong opinions, and I like the points you were making last night in our text. So we'll get you on soon enough, and we'll go back at it, hopefully when all of this is in hindsight and it's a non-issue. But anyways, that's my take. All right, there you have it. That's the pod for this week. This weekend, I'm a big favorite over Johnny, who's got more than 25 points missing from buys this week. Trey's favorite over Anurag. Even though Anurag's on a two-game winning streak, Trey's trying to bounce back. Cole's trying to hold his lead in the standings in a big matchup against Aditya. Hank and Chris will battle it out, and Roe will try and bounce back with a big win over Matt. Good luck, everybody. Hook 'em, Grundles.